Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive.
Hello, Cassie.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I
You know, no, it's good. It's not though, guys. It's just not. It just never is.
No, I am okay, guys. Bad things happened to me again this week, but that's actually not what first came to mind when you asked, how am I? The first thing that came to mind is I am a changed woman.
Well, this is true.
I am a like, I don't even care about the okay. Okay. No, I don't even care about that train horn. Like, no. The train horn can't silence me.
No, it won't. It don't let it.
Okay, no, I really am a changed woman because let me skip right ahead to the conversation I want to have. Yes, I have watched a horror movie this week. And do you want to know what it is? You know what it is because I texted you immediately after watching.
You did. And I was, wow. You know, yeah. It was just wow.
My love for Tim Curry has arrived. I mean, I already really enjoyed him in the movie Clue. I'd seen him in Clue. He was a standout for me there. But I watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show for the first time. And I am a changed person. I think everyone needs to watch this movie. I think you are homophobic until you do.
Oh, no, guys.
That's just
me
trying to force it upon everybody. Obviously, Tim Curry is like, I think, and I think most people would agree, like the standout of that movie as well. He's probably the standout in everything he does. He's
just true.
That kind of actor. Yeah. But wow, I like had to change my Letterboxd top four actually twice this week.
Girl, you don't want to know what I thought you were going to say there.
Oh my, what?
No,
what did you think?
I can't even say it.
Oh, I'm scared.
You just started out with, I had to change my, and I was curious about where that was going.
Well, yes, like you're not wrong, I fear. No, I was like sweating for 45 minutes after watching that movie for the first time. Like my boyfriend walked in the room after I watched the movie.
Stop.
And I had like this, he looked at me and I just had this smile. I was like, I had this weird smile on my face because I was just like, hello. He was like, what? And I was like, I have a lot to explain. I'm a different person now. This is who I am now. No, I've watched the movie twice. So I watched it from the reaction. And then I also made Corey watch it with me last night.
Oh, okay.
He actually enjoyed it. And so loved that. I've probably watched one specific scene about 20 times. I did wake up this morning and I started my day by watching the scene again. It really is just like a reset for me. Like it gives me, we could make a whole episode. We could make a whole episode about Rocky Horror.
Oh no.
My God.
Do we have a bonus episode?
A bonus episode incoming on Patreon.
Oh my God.
Because I simply don't have enough time to express my love for it here. But it's one of my top four favorite movies. I haven't felt like this since I watched Grease for the first time as a 12-year-old. And I was like obsessed. And this is just 50 million times better than Grease. I'm so sorry to Grease. But
wow.
It's like the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's the most captivating thing I've ever seen. I'm a little embarrassed to put my reaction on the internet because like it's very vulnerable how excited I am when this man steps on the screen. I'm sweating right now. I love Tim Curry. It's actually one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And I really need you to see it. And I don't know if it's horror enough for a reaction, but it could be if you wanted it to be.
I mean, I have to watch this movie now. I need to know.
Like, nothing can stop me. Like, after watching this movie, nothing can stop me. There's nothing I want to do more than, because this, I don't know if you know, this is like the movie where there's still like a lot of midnight showings for it that happen to this day. And like people dress up and like there's water guns and people throw food and you sing along and scream all the lines together. And like, it's a whole, it's a whole thing that I knew was a thing. But now that I've seen it, it's like, yeah, it's time to get ready to put together some Dr. Frankenfurter cosplay and get in a theater.
Yes, I think that you should do that. I don't know anything about it, but just your passion for this movie, you need to get on that. as soon as possible.
Okay, now stop me. Now you no, actually
stop.
Don't
stop.
No, I will. I could keep going for a million years, but I'll stop. But the other thing I did want to mention is I did watch a trailer for Scary Movie 6.
Oh, people keep asking me if I've seen that. And I know a couple things that are in it, but I don't know everything.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much. Like, there's so many references to the point where I'm like, it seems like it's more going to be like SNL style skit, because there's just so much. I'm like, what is the plot? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
but I'm excited for that movie, because Scary Movie 5, we lost a lot of like the original cast that was in most of the films. And now like a lot of the original cast in this one, and it's really fun.
Okay, interesting.
And then there's like already jokes happening in it where people are like, not a good joke, and like some people are actually offended, and some people are like, I'm not offended, it's just a bad joke. But just like the fact that it's creating argument, I'm like, oh, Scary Movie is back.
It's back. Oh my god, that is funny, because obviously it is probably one of the more controversial franchises in horror, just with the places that they go, man.
Yeah.
Well, I've still only seen two of them, and Cassie wants to kill me for that fact.
Yeah, because my favorite is 3. I think it's so funny. There's like multiple references that I hold back all the time around you from Scary Movie 3. So, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get on that soon.
Yeah, you're in your franchise era.
I really am. Which, speaking of my franchise era.
Yes.
Since we've last spoken, I watched Friday the 13th, Part 3, and Part 4, The Final Chapter. Mm-hmm. So I am caught up on that first collection, because it's like, when you look at the breakdown of the franchise, like the first four are kind of seen as like, okay, that's a group. Those movies, like, I don't know. Like, they're fun. They're silly. They're not like amazing by any means. I liked 4 better than 3. 4 was a little more unique and interesting. There's a lot of boobs. It's that quintessential 80s boobs everywhere all the time, which is kind of crazy, but it is what it is. But yeah, I'm excited to just watch the franchise, to be able to say that I've watched it. I'm not like gonna sit here and say, oh, I'm just so excited to see the plot of the next movie, because like I know what the plot of the next movie is. Like, I just want to see them all. So that's like what I'm doing there. And then I also watched Child's Play 3, and this is like very different, where I actually am excited to see the plots of the next movies. Like, the Child's Play franchise and just Chucky in general has been so fun.
Yeah.
3 was definitely my least favorite of the first three. The third one takes place mostly at like a military school / camp.
Oh, I don't recall this.
Oh,
this might be one that slipped through the cracks for me out of the franchise.
It's possible. It's like fine. Like, it's not bad, but it was definitely my least favorite of the three. But everyone's like, yeah, just get to Bride of Chucky. Just get to Bride of Chucky. So,
Bride of Chucky, I remember. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wacky one.
I'm really intrigued to see, once I watch that one, what the heck we're dealing with. I'm a little concerned. But then on top of that, I also started watching American Horror Story.
Okay, so are you still only 2 episodes in, or have you filmed?
Yes.
Okay.
I was supposed to watch a couple more yesterday, and I got busy, but
yeah,
I'll be watching the 3rd and 4th episode this week, and man, oh man, this is throwing me for so many loops. It's, like, I'm intrigued, and I'm invested, but I'm also, like, tired. Like, it exhausts me
to
watch these episodes, because they're so, like, fast-paced and, like, just, like, wacky. And one of the things that, like, me and one of my editors were talking about is, like, they do these quick zoom-ins and, like, zoom-outs, which, like, kind of like The Office style, but, like, a little, like, less dramatic, but they're so, like, weird. I'm like, what were we doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole show is just so bizarre. And this, I'm talking about season one. It's the first season that I've ever watched, but I'm intrigued.
It's going to be so fun watching you watch. There's so many things you've been putting out lately that I want to do a proper watch along on your Patreon with. I like need to make time. I need more time.
I'm still so behind on Lost with you. So
I know. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
So I get it. That's horror lately.
Amazing.
Except funnily enough, actually, I can't even talk about all of it right now, but I did watch 5 horror movies over the weekend. I watched 5.
Yes.
Because of some other stuff, podcast, and then like Friday the 13th. But
yeah,
the other movie that I watched was a movie called Graduation Day from 1981.
And my eyes lit up.
Exactly. If there's one thing to know about us is that we love covering an 80s slasher.
Yeah.
Because they're just perfect for the podcast, and they're so fun and so silly and ridiculous, and yeah, and this one is no exception. And you said you've never heard of this one.
No. When I first saw you message the movie title to me, I was like, my brain went to the movie The Graduate, which is not a horror movie.
yeah.
And I was like, oh. And then I was so confused for like 2 seconds, and I was like, no, I've never this I've never heard of. This is different.
Yes. This one I found out about because of Shudder, just like scrolling on Shudder.
Yeah.
And it came up and I was like, that sounds fun. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Graduation Day is co-written and directed by a man named Herb Fried, who you most likely don't know from mm-hmm. anything else. The film had a budget of $250,000 and grossed around $24 million at the box office.
That's crazy. Can you feel the low budget, or did they do well?
I didn't pick up on it.
Wow.
Like, I'm not sitting there going, wow, look at this budget. But like, also, like, I would not have been like, oh yeah, $250K.
That's wild. Okay.
Yeah. And so it was like one of the higher grossing horror films at the time for that.
Yeah. How fact. The hell do I not know about it?
I know.
That's crazy.
I mean, okay, I will say, like, the film got a lot of very bad reviews at the time. But like, okay. It's
still
one of those ones that, you know, everyone hated and said it was terrible, but is more generally like appreciated now, because a lot of the bad reviews came from people being like, violence, horror, bad.
Satanic panic.
Exactly. So it's like, you can't really take those current reviews these days too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And a fun little side note about it, at the premiere, they had dozens of teenagers stand outside the theater in graduation attire wearing pins that said, I survived graduation day. I fear we should get those if we survive the episode.
Okay.
Because I think that's kind of awesome.
That is. That's
cute. I love promo like that.
Yes.
Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Smile, but when they had like people for the Smile movie, like the guy who sat behind home plate at a baseball game and just smiled the whole time, I was like, that is like that's the coolest marketing.
Yeah, maybe I like the promo even more than the movie.
Right? I honestly, yes, you're not wrong. And of course, if you guys want to follow along with the worksheet, you can find that on our Discord, which you can access via our Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast, because we will be doing interactable worksheet as always. So are you ready to get into this?
Yes. I never know what I'm getting into, but I'm always excited if we're in the 80s.
You should be. You should be. And with that, Cassie, no film that I have ever watched has had a groovier intro than this movie. I was bopping. Like this opening, and when I looked up the movie afterward, this was like one of the things people were talking about, is just the intro. We have got ourselves an 80s style banger playing over a wild montage of a track and field meet at a high school.
Oh, okay.
And the editing style is just so quick. It's like on beat, and it's just like shot, 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 shot,
like music
shot.
Like, video.
It's full on music video.
Yeah.
The bleachers are packed with screaming students, and they are so into the events of the meet. We've got gymnastics, we have track, pole vaulting, shot put, and there's also like these people walking into a field making out, and I don't know why, but they do.
Because it's the 80s.
Because it's the 80s. Exactly. And eventually we make it to what seems to be a very highly anticipated event, which is a girls track event. And I want you to know all of this is still being done in this crazy editing style and music and all of that. So the gun goes off and the girls start running. A dark-haired girl named Laura is in the lead, and her coach checks the stopwatch. 30 seconds, Laura, he yells. Her teammates are cheering her on. The crowd starts chanting, Laura, Laura, Laura.
Okay.
Her coach, whose name is George Michaels, by the way.
Okay.
The director must have been a big George Michaels fan, because like, you don't do that by accident.
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
That's so funny.
But he's getting really intense. He's like, move it. Come on. Push through it. And Laura is nearing the finish line, giving it her all. And as the coach's stopwatch hits that 30 seconds, Laura crosses the finish line, throwing her hands up into the air in celebration. The crowd goes wild chanting her name. Her teammates and coach, they're celebrating. But suddenly, Laura collapses to the ground and our groovy music fades out.
Uh-oh.
The crowd's face falls and things go still. Laura's teammates run out to her. One boy in particular is the one to check on her, and it seems immediately clear that she has no pulse. The boy wraps Laura in his arms as the screen cuts to black.
Literally dropped dead.
Literally dropped dead.
Wow.
So would you survive? No, I'm kidding.
You know, if I tried to run that fast, I'd probably drop dead too.
Right? And that is the intro, and I love the intro. Like, literally one of my favorite movie intros, just because it was just so, like, the editing, it's, like, ridiculous. It's so ridiculous, but it's so much fun. So when we come back up, we see a newspaper clipping in somebody's hand, and it reads, "Race ends in tragedy, Midvale senior dies." And the person holding this seems to be a girl, and she's sitting in the passenger seat of a small box truck. But we're not seeing her face. We're just seeing, like, her lower half of her body, and she's wearing this, like, navy blue, like, military naval outfit. So there's a man driving this truck that she's sitting in the passenger seat of, and he asks her about that girl in the clipping, but she doesn't reply. In fact, this man says and asks a lot of things, but she doesn't reply to any of it. He keeps talking at her and also glancing down at her exposed thigh, which he eventually, like, does a, like, a dramatic laugh and then, like, just grabs her thigh, like, in, like, laughy, you know?
Ooh.
And, like, he, like, laughs at first and just, like, pats it and then decides to, like, slide his hand, like, up her thigh more.
Wait, am I picturing this right? He's old.
He's not old, but he's not young either.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, this is not
so
okay.
So it is weird. Yeah.
Yeah, this is weird.
Okay.
And this is the first time our girly speaks. "Move your hand," Anne says. This guy protests, like, "Come on, give a man a break, huh? I'm a taxpayer."
Okay.
Which, sure.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all? She asks him again, and he still won't listen. So she has to remove his hand herself, and then she grabs the ascot around his throat with one hand and his crotch with the other.
Oh.
And she just, like, pulls the ascot and she squeezes his crotch, causing ultimate pain.
Okay.
And he starts swerving on the road, and he begs her to let her go, and she says she will, but then says, "But if you even breathe in my direction, you'll be eating your balls for lunch."
Wow. I love to see it.
Exactly. She is not to be messed with.
Amazing.
And I think that this opening is kind of fun, because at first you're just sitting there like, "Oh, here we go. Like,
here we go again."
And
timid
then
girl
she's
going to be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then she said, "No, no, no, no."
Yeah.
So driving into town, they pass a large banner across the road that reads, "Happy Graduation Day." Anne glances around and notices a girl running out for a jog. "Let me out," she tells the driver. So it seems like this guy was just someone that, like, she asked for a ride from, which kind of makes sense given the context. So Anne gets out and she's watching this girl jog into the park. Ominous music kicks in. So it's like, ooh, like, what's this? Like, what are we supposed to pick up from this? But let's stick with that jogging girl. Her name is Paula, and she's got on these big old red headphones as she continues her run through the park. We cut to a gloved hand hitting start on a stopwatch, and whoever is holding that starts jogging as well. Back and forth we cut from the stopwatch to Paula, droning spooky music, letting us know that shit is probably about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing we know, the gloved hand is reaching out for Paula, who is jogging on, completely oblivious that anyone is running behind her. The hand snatches the back of her head, pulling her back. A knife is raised into the air and slash, slash, slash. There's blood everywhere.
No. What? Are we witnessing this?
Mm.
Like Anne?
Anne, we could, like, cut away from Anne.
Oh, my God. What if it's her? No. Mm. It can't be her. Mm. It's not her. I take it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Paula falls to the ground, dead.
Man.
Her headphones sit on the ground, still blaring music, and another glimpse at the stopwatch shows us that it sits stopped at 30 seconds.
Mm.
Over at the school, some graduation prep is going on. Kids are getting their cap and gown pics taken, and they're signing yearbooks. The spirits are high. And Coach George Michaels walks up to his track team, who is out on the field near the bleachers in a uniform. They're supposed to be getting their team picture taken for the newspaper, but Paula isn't here yet. The coach says that they can't wait for her any longer. The team protests because she's like the best cross-country runner they've had in years, and they're like, we can't take the picture without Paula. But the photographer is on a tight schedule today, so unfortunately, they have to just go ahead and take the photo. There's only a total of six of them, six plus the coach, so it's a pretty small team. So they take their photo, and then they go on their way. Now, Anne, she's walking up to a very fancy-looking home where she rings the bell. A woman answers the door and is so excited to see her. It's her mother. Anne asks her if she's doing all right, and her face falls, and the energy comes down. It was awful, her mother says. We pick up through this conversation that Anne is Laura's older sister.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that does give her a little bit more motive. There's a bug on your chair. There's a bug on your chair. There's a bug on your chair.
Where?
On the top left.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. It's one of those stink bug things.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much. Give me a minute. Hold on. I'll be right back. Okay. Ew! I gotta get him.
Okay, he's outside now.
That was so scary.
That dude, that was the scariest moment of my whole life. Like, I can't believe you just did that to me. Thank you. But also, right. Oh my God. Oh, okay. What was
I don't know what was happening. Oh, I was just starting to get suspicious of Anne because we just found out she's the sister of Laura. So now I'm like,
yes.
That does give motive, unfortunately, but I'm not gonna buy it.
Okay. So a man descends the stairs. Look, honey, Anne is home, the mother tells him. No shit, Sherlock, he says. He seems a little less excited to see her. Don't talk to my mother like that, Anne says sternly. You don't like it, he starts. Why don't you go back to China or wherever you were this time?
Is this a stepdad?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not explicitly said, but the fact that she says, like, don't talk to my mother like that.
Right.
You know, that kind of energy. Sorry, I'm like out of breath right now.
I know.
There was a bug. The mother actually steps in to say that Ronald is just joking. Let's not fight. She's very defensive of Ronald. There's a real bad energy here between really all three of them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Anne came here from Guam for the graduation to accept an award that Laura received. She's going to accept that in her place. Anne's mother offers to get her set up in Laura's room. And Anne is like, well, what about my room? Oh, well, Ronald's using that as a dark room now, so that's fine.
Of course.
And Anne's mother asks her if she plans on keeping the trophy and the insurance money. And she's like, no. And then is sure to yell into the house, you hear that, Ronald? You'll get to keep the money.
Yeah.
So Anne heads upstairs and gets settled in her dead sister's room, just like everybody would want to. Throwing her stuff on the bed, we can see that she packed a gray jogging suit and black gloves.
Okay. No, it's too forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's too forward. Right.
It feels but it.
Sometimes 80s movies are just forward.
That's also true.
So, yeah.
Ronald decides to waltz in now. He wants to have some words with Anne. He's mad that Anne is accepting the award. It should be him. He brought her up as if she were his own, after all.
So you want a reward for that?
Yeah, exactly.
You want a prize?
Like, okay, sir.
Yeah.
And Anne remains cold. Like, she's not going to, like, fall into all of his garbage.
Yeah.
And he says, I see the Navy hasn't taught you any manners. You're still the same big-mouthed, self-centered bitch that you were the day you left here.
Oh.
And then he holds up his hand and goes, I ought to slap some mind into you. But Anne grabs his arm. I wouldn't if I were you, she says.
Good.
She's not putting up with it.
Yeah.
Also, like, this character is just, like, wild.
Yeah, cartoon bad.
Yeah, Ronald spits out a seething bitch before leaving. I'm like, okay, buddy.
Yeah, bye.
Cutting away to a locker room, the gloved hand reaches for a doorknob as we slide into their POV. Mm-hmm. They approach a locker and open it up. Inside is a framed photograph of the track team, not the one from the beginning. Seemed like it was supposed to be, but like then it wasn't because like why did that scene exist? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it's a different picture. And there's a red X over one of their faces. Closing in on Paula's face, the hand uses a tube of red lipstick to draw an X over Paula's face now too. So now two of the faces on the photo have an X over them.
Yep.
A girl named Sally is walking through the park with her books in hand when Anne approaches her.
Okay.
Yeah, just bear with me.
Maybe she'll just die right away too.
Yeah, and then you could just cross her right out, right?
Yeah.
Anne approaches her, asking her for directions to the auditorium. Sally directs off to the right, but Anne reaches for the pendant around Sally's neck, noting how beautiful it is.
Mm.
It's an honor award for the varsity track, Sally tells her. Anne just looks at her and pauses. You have lovely eyes, she says. My sister had eyes like yours.
Oh.
She's dead now.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, that's not sus. That's not weird. That's totally fine.
Yeah, that's how people talk. Yeah.
Gee, well, gotta run, Sally says, taking off quickly. And she's like looking over her shoulder as she nearly jogs away because like,
that was weird. Was that?
Well, in the auditorium, graduation rehearsals are taking place. And this scene is so annoying. I hate this scene because the principal, first of all, is just like weird. And then the kids are heckling every single thing that he says. So like, you know, it's just like loud. And then the microphone is like squeaking and screeching. And I'm like, I need to go
like
home.
We're overstimulated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Anne finally makes her way in and the principal is sure to introduce her to the class. So now they all know that she's Laura's sister and that she will be accepting an award in Laura's place at the ceremony tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The rehearsal is dismissed and some of the kids go over and introduce themselves to Anne. Anne recognizes a boy named Kevin. Now, this is the boy who held Laura in his arms when she died. She asks if she can speak to him later alone and he agrees. Okay. So later, Anne goes ahead and shows up at Kevin's house. She rings the bell and knocks on the door a few times, but no one answers. So what do you think she does?
Climbs through the window.
Well, she just uses the front door, but like same. Like,
I assumed it would be locked.
No. She just goes in.
Yes.
Because I guess that's what you do when someone doesn't answer their door. You just let yourself inside.
Of course.
And when she walks in, too, it's not even like she goes, hello. Like, she just, like, walks in.
Okay.
And, like, starts looking at stuff. And, okay, she notices a photo album right in the entryway. And it's open to a picture of Laura in her track uniform.
Okay.
And she starts to flip the pages. And all of these pictures are from her final race, like, just before she died.
That's like, that's so weird.
Yeah. Why would you want that?
And this is just a random – we don't know his relationship.
So – We're like about to get there, but like,
yeah,
they never explicitly say, but like, you can tell that like they were in a relationship.
Okay.
Kevin and Laura.
Still weird.
Like, I don't care who you are. Why would you want those photos like framed?
Yeah.
Of like right before she died.
Yeah.
But Kevin does come downstairs and he's not even weirded out by Anne just like being in his house
because, all right,
you know, that's fine. And he notices that Anne has seen the photo album and Anne says, oh, it's just like you described it in your letter. So I guess she's on board with it too. So they're like, I don't know, I wouldn't want it, but you do you, I guess. You know, Laura was crazy about you, Kevin tells her. I guess she talked about her sister a lot. The two of them seem to share a lot of love for Laura, and they just talk a little bit about her and who she was and everything. And Anne remembers, like, why, this is why I came here in the first place. And she pulls out a pendant from her bag and she hands it over to Kevin. It was Laura's graduation present. I wanted you to have it. It's a silver pendant depicting a girl running. So it's like a cross-country or track necklace. And it's really, you know, it's cute.
Yeah.
Kevin thanks her for it and places it on top of the photo album. Anne tells him that she has some things to take care of, so she better get going, and she heads out. So back at the school, Sally, she's getting changed in the locker room. She's getting changed from her cute little blue outfit into her bright red gymnastics leotard. And a creepy POV is watching from somewhere nearby and then flips off the light.
Okay.
Sally gets spooked and she starts tiptoeing around to see if anyone's around, what caused the light to go out. But she ends up just getting jump scared by two other girls making their way into the locker room. And they all just end up screaming.
Okay.
But while they're all kind of screaming and freaking out, Sally sees a door across the room slowly close. And she's like, wait, quiet. And she tells the other girls what she just saw. But they laugh at her at the prospect of a door closing on its own. They're not taking Sally seriously. They even call her nuts and wacko.
Oh, Yeah. They really jumped to that conclusion. That's so, like, of course, like, in the 80s, no one's ever believed. It's like, the trope is that it's all-time high, like, of, like, something happened, you crazy, whatever. She just saw the lights turned off.
And a door closed.
And a door closed.
She didn't say it was a ghost. She was just like, oh, like something.
That's weird.
And they called her wacko.
Okay. I'm afraid Sally's gonna die. I don't know why I really like Sally for some reason. And I like Sally too.
Yeah. Okay. She's pretty cool. So Sally peeks her head through that door that had just closed and no one's there. Mm-hmm. So she goes ahead and heads into the gym, and she's having a little newspaper photo shoot of her own. The photographer from earlier is there, and he asks Sally to do a couple turns on the bar for him. Coach George Michaels steps up and is like, oh, no, no, she's going to do her full routine. Sally says she's not really up to it today, but the coach is like, we have someone from the paper here. Don't embarrass me.
Oh my gosh. This is the same coach from the beginning of the movie that was like, sir, you literally pressured one of your kids so bad they dropped dead. Like, maybe we should lay off a little bit for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would think, but no. Mm-hmm. And the photographer even steps in and assures him that a couple of turns will do. He just needs to take a few photos.
Yeah.
But the coach insists, Sally, get your little ass up on those bars and go to work.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. That's definitely the way that coaches would talk to their kids today. And she doesn't argue. She does her routine, but fails to fully execute it. Uh-oh. Coach is mad and
pushy. He kills her.
And then he takes out a knife. And the coach is like being really annoying about it.
Yeah. The coach is, by the way, the coach has to be a suspect as well at this point. Yeah.
The photographer tries to step in again, saying, it really doesn't matter. He got some shots. Everything is fine. Shut up and do your job, the coach interrupts. He makes Sally do the routine again.
Oh, my God.
And she's doing a lovely job. And coach is even watching in admiration. It's like slow-mo and there's music and it's all like, wow. But then some creepy flashes enter the frame. And we can see the photo, that photo with Paula's face crossed out, consistently flashing. And as the flashes continue, the red lipstick tube enters the frame and crosses out Sally's face.
No.
Sally loses concentration and falls onto the mat. She quickly gets up and runs out of the gym before the coach can berate her.
Uh-huh.
She goes into the locker room again, where she decides to shave her legs in the sink. Oh. Like, I don't know. I guess, like,
I thought we were, like, going to cut to, like, her crying or something.
She's shaving her legs in the sink.
Okay, yeah.
The gloved person POV is back, and it opens a locker nearby and pulls out a fencing foil.
What the heck? What is that?
It's like have you ever seen fencers, like the swords that they use?
Oh, right. I was thinking of, like, fences. I thought it was going to be, like a tool that you use to put fences together, like to build fences.
So he pulls out a fencing hammer post thingy.
It's like, I don't know. We got creative deaths in the 80s. Like, she's about to be wrapped up in some fencing. I don't know.
You know what? I would take that.
Yeah. Okay. You're talking about the sword?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that's what it was called.
Well, neither did I. This was one of my Google tabs while I was scripting. Yeah. Like, what is the fencing sword called? It's a foil. Cutting back to Sally for a second, she holds up the razor in the mirror and she just goes, this is for you, coach. Sit on it and rotate. Oh,
my God. Like, what a line. Like, I do love the line. It's just so silly, though, that she's like taking out her aggression on, like, razor fantasies while she shaves her legs in a sink. Like,
I know. No, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's a great line. It's so good.
Yeah.
But it's also so crazy because, like, what is happening? Aww. But the POV slowly approaches Sally from behind. Sally is oblivious until she looks up into the mirror and catches sight of someone in the reflection. She turns around. What are you doing? She asks, but also just continues to stand there. The person waves the foil around. Stop it, Sally says very pathetically.
Okay.
The foil waving individual.
Stop it.
No, she really does. Like, it's so upsetting. It makes me so sad.
Aww.
The foil waving individual approaches closer, moving the foil toward Sally's neck. Sally screams, but again, doesn't move.
What? Is there a, is this a one entrance area? One
entrance, exit? She's got places. Plenty of room. There's a lot of movement that we could be doing right now. Okay. Yes. So then the foil pierces her throat all the way through.
Okay.
And this is our act one check-in. So,
dang it, Sally.
I know. I'm upset with her.
She
was nice. Yeah. So this is, you know, you're feeling that 80s energy.
Yeah, because every woman we meet dies. That is the 80s energy.
That's so true.
At this point, I'm kind of hoping Anne is the killer because come on now. Mm-hmm. Like, why is it all? I mean, I guess it's like the women's track and field team.
It's not.
Oh.
It's mixed. It's co-ed.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, it's co-ed. Sorry. I meant, I totally skipped the line where I said it was like, no, and it's like two girls and four guys, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
My God.
So I have three questions for you to start out today. And I worded them in, you know, the weird ways that we have to word things here. So,
sure.
1A. How much do you hate running?
Okay. You know what? I used to love running. I used
really?
To run for like that stopped like mid-college, but in high school, my 7-minute mile, it was great.
Yes. Wait, I didn't know this about you.
Yeah.
How did I not know this about you?
And I was like a really good runner as a kid, like a little kid. And then as I got older and older, the desire left me. And I was like, wait, I'd rather sit and watch a movie.
Yes.
And I would love to get back into like, I really do. I would love to get back into running again. But no, I have to be honest with myself. Like where I'm at right now, how much do I love running right now? I would say a good...
How much do you hate it?
Oh, yeah. How much do I hate it? Okay. Oh, that's true. So this helps me. Good, good.
Yes.
I hate it about like an 83.
Okay.
I would say.
I put 53 only because like in recent years, I have tried to start running again. I haven't enjoyed it, but I'm trying and I hate it, but I'm trying. So, you know, it's like I do still hate it, but would I go running? Yes. Also, in a similar way to you, like I ran cross country in high school. So,
yes, I knew this.
I was also into running when I was younger. Yeah. I remember in middle school, I thought running was the most fun thing in the world. I
like why? Why
the mile day came and I was like, yeah, let's go. And everyone's
That's
like,
so funny.
I'm like, no, this is the most exciting thing in the world. Question 1B. Do you go running without headphones on?
Okay. I did think about this when it happened.
Yes.
This is so hard because it's like something where I'm like, I so know that I should have one headphone in, one headphone out.
Yeah.
Because I've seen this happen so many times, like in like in true stories too.
Exactly.
But now I'm thinking about like the last, like just within the last year, one of the walks I went on with Karma, my dog Karma, I had both headphones in and then suddenly there was a dog running from its home to get, to catch us. And then it was at our feet and like trying to play with Karma and it was totally fine. But like, I didn't realize that there was a dog running for us until it was at my ankles.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like I should take a headphone out. But
I listen.
Like, you need them in to survive exercise.
Exactly. Like, I'll tell you, I gave myself an 18 because I know full well the last thing you're supposed to do if you're walking or running outside
Why do
is
we
wear
do
them.
That?
But I do it anyway. Why I go for walks and I always put my headphones on.
Yeah, I can't. I need it. Oh, man.
It's a really bad thing to do. But
clean 25. Because sometimes I do leave one out, but most of the time I'm like, I need them in.
Yep. Yep. 1C, do you escape the fencing attack in the locker room?
Okay. Well, I would like to think so. There's so much space. There's so much time given to us to run.
Also, our foils aren't like super sharp, right?
Oh, I don't know. I have
think
no
they
idea.
Are. Like, I don't know that if like a foil were to like hit you in the arm, like, cause they use it as like piercing it through. They don't like slice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think foils are meant to slice. So I'm pretty sure you could fight off a foil.
Right. If you have to like whack it away, you're going to be fine.
I think so.
I think so too. Like the sound that they make, you know, when they hit it, it doesn't sound like it's going to slash.
Right.
I would honestly give myself a solid, oh, I want to be so cocky.
Oh, I was.
I want to give myself a solid 89.
Okay, I went 85. So okay, you're in the same place I was.
Because, perfect. That yeah, makes sense. Because I'm not even seeing it. I'm not intimidated. You know what
no.
I mean?
No, you're always more likely, I feel like, to go higher when you haven't yes. seen the movie.
Yes.
Those are your three questions, so feel free to grab an average.
Oh, another clean number. I have a 67%.
67.
Because I have to put my damn headphones in.
Well, I have a 52, so,
yeah,
you know, I'm not exactly thriving over here.
Yeah.
As much as yeah. I would like to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what happens in Act Two.
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick stop in the music room where the music teacher, Mr. Roberts, is belting out a tune at the piano while three female students like lean on the piano listening. Mm-hmm. As he finishes his song, they all clap for him excitedly and like compliment his ability to entertain. And they're really just way too excited by every little thing that he says. They're just like yikes. Falling all over everything.
Okay.
And while they're all giggling, another girl confidently struts in. Dolores is supposed to be here meeting with Mr. Robert. So the other girls all have to head out. Ugh. Darn. Mm-hmm. Well, they leave and Dolores just straight up sits on the piano keys. Unfortunately, Mr. Roberts' next line informs us as to where this scene is going.
Oh, dear.
Now, Dolores, as I was saying, there's just no way I can pass you. You're barely ever here. Summer school, it'll have to be.
No way. Okay, what? Okay. I mean, I see what the setup is, but is there going to be a follow through?
So he continues on, and Dolores starts unbuttoning her blouse. Oh, no, don't do that, he says. Not here. Someone could walk in. Like, the fact that's that he's why. Like, no, don't do that. Not here. I'm like, what? Stop.
And the fact, like, no high school girl's go-to is to just start unbuttoning her blouse for their teacher.
No. Nope. So Dolores, she fixes that problem of someone walking in by just locking the door.
Okay.
She struts back over to Mr. Roberts, taking off her shirt, and then you can fill in the rest. So in the principal's office, we meet the secretary, who we just call Blondie. I don't know if that's her name or what, but everyone calls her Blondie.
Okay.
So the principal calls her into his office. Would you come in here for a minute, quick like a bunny? And Blondie's like, what? And he's like, you know, quick, like a bunny, like a hop, you know? And she's like, okay, whatever, this is weird. But yeah. She also does check her makeup in her compact before getting up and heading into his office.
Okay.
So you're like, okay. She walks in and he immediately grabs her and kisses her, complimenting how, like, just great. She looks so fantastic today. And Blondie clocks him real quick. She's like, all right, what do you want?
Yeah, okay.
What do you want? He asks her to just complete the little old task of preparing like a shit ton of letters. And she protests but accepts the task because she really doesn't seem to have a choice. Mm-hmm. And to make it up to her, the principal's going to come by her place late tonight with some wine. And Blondie is annoyed but also like seems secretly pleased by this information. You know, she's like kind of into it. Yeah. Also, like, I can't tell if this is an affair or like they're like a thing.
But also, are they just being weird and secretive because they work together?
Right. I don't know. Yeah. Exactly. When Blondie walks out of the office, we linger on the principal as he cuts an apple at his desk. When he's done with the knife, he opens up his desk drawer to put it away, and we see that this man has quite the collection of knives in his desk.
Okay.
He's got like a lot of knives in there.
Man's really loves his apples.
Yeah, he does. The way he cuts it is so weird too. We just like watch him cut the whole thing and it's just a very like drawn out sequence. And I'm like, okay, cut an apple. Like that's awesome.
Yeah.
So back to Mr. Roberts. He's singing a little love song at the piano now, probably after whatever he just experienced.
Yeah. And
he can't seem to concentrate though because there's some loud clanking sounds coming from nearby.
Oh good. Is he going to die?
You know, I don't know.
Oh my God.
He heads out of his room and starts to make his way down the stairs. He runs into the coach and asks him if he's also hearing these sounds. Uh-huh. He really isn't, but Roberts is convinced there's something in the pipes, so he's going to go take a peek down in the boiler room.
Oh.
It's loud down there. There's machinery whirring, and he calls out to see if anyone's down here. when a silhouette passes by around a corner. Roberts tells them that whoever they are, they shouldn't be down here. He creeps farther into the maze of machines when we hear an echoey voice say, "Oh, Mr. Roberts, you look skinnier with your clothes off." Oh. He follows the voices as we hear his own voice say back.
What? What? Also, what do you mean his own voice? Wait, like he,
so
like
you can tell it's a tape recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we hear his own voice say in reply, "Do you like snakes? I call this my little cobra."
Oh, no.
Tell me nobody actually talks like that, right?
I don't think so. Like, only as a joke. You know what I mean? But he's so serious.
No, but he's, like, so serious. And wow. Then, like, it goes on. I didn't put this all in, but she's like, "Oh, is it poisonous?" And I'm like, what? Yes,
get away. Like, it is.
What is this?
Please leave it alone.
But it's clearly a recorded tape from his interactions with Dolores.
Right. Earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. I am excited as to where this seems to be going, because I was ready for Dolores to be the one to die here, obviously, based
she's
on
a
how
woman.
It's, yeah.
So he finds the tape and promptly shuts it off. And when he does, we see two students scurry out of the basement.
Oh.
And he takes off after them. And that's the end of that scene.
What are you joking me? I wanted murder.
Believe me, I know. It's funny because I like reread the script this morning, like to tidy it up, and I went, wait a second, what was the point of that entire scene?
And we don't. Do we find out who the he doesn't die?
This doesn't have anything to do with anything.
And we never find out who the two students were that set that up. What the heck?
I don't know, like, if it's supposed to be trying to like set up him as a suspect, but no part of me ever saw him as suspicious.
No, me either. And I didn't feel any more suspicious at all from this.
No, exactly. Like, sure. I feel like this was like a failed setup.
Yeah.
I think it could, I don't know. It's a very random scene. This movie does not have good ratings, but I love it. So just bear with me.
Okay.
So Coach George Michaels is about to receive a visitor. Anne is making her way to his office, and when she arrives, the energy is immediately tense. Coach asks her why she came here. To point a finger at a killer, he asks. Everybody else in town has. Turns out that the coach has received quite a lot of blame for Laura's death, and we learn that her cause of death was a blood clot.
Mm-hmm.
Anne seems to be a part of the group that thinks this is, at least in some way, his fault. "You pushed her and you killed her," she says. Coach admits that, yes, he pushes them, he yells at them, but he cares about them and would never have done anything to really hurt Laura.
Mm-hmm.
"I spent 4 years with Laura. I molded her. I shaped her. She was precision. She was power," he says, kind of giving the impression that he cared more about what he made her into and her athleticism more than, like, Laura herself. Yeah,
right.
You know?
I also don't really suspect him because, like, I think he really just wants to win, and why would he kill his team? Like,
right
maybe he is partly like blame is strong for what happened with Laura at the start, but like I would kind of be like, well, shouldn't have pushed her so hard. Like, my spiteful side would definitely have those ugly thoughts, but I was
in the same boat as you at this point. It's like, well, I guess like you could say he was partly at fault for what happened, but like she died of like a blood clot. It's like he didn't know that, like, you know. So Anne stays cold and unwavering on her opinion of the coach, and he asks why she's really here anyway. She says she came looking for an answer. "I think I got it," she says, heading for the door. I don't know if she just got confirmation that he pushed her and like that maybe she didn't care. I don't know exactly what that confirmation was that she was looking for, but
okay,
she got it. "We'll meet again, Michaels," she says before leaving. "I guess we will," he says. Ooh, haunting and spooky. Randomly, you're going to love this. A guy named Ralph walks through the woods tossing his football to himself.
Okay.
When two girls who know him walk by, they steal his ball and they play a little keep away, like playfully teasing him. And they're like all the girls in this movie are so giggly. They just
maybe these are the
hilarious
two girls that did the prank on the teacher just now.
You know what? I don't think they are, but I think they are the same two girls that called Sally like a wacko.
From the locker
room. I think it's those two girls. Yeah, I think whenever there's just like a need for two other girls, these two show up. You know what I mean? It's like,
I wonder, do they get names?
I don't think they do.
I wonder who they are in this, what their names are in the script.
Yeah, right? No, it's like
Giggly Girl 1.
Giggly Girl 2. Yes, probably. Yeah. So one of the girls throws the ball and it goes far into the brush. Mm-hmm. And they just don't care. They just run away giggling. And poor Ralph has to climb through the branches to find his football.
Yeah.
So we cut further into the brush and the gloved-handed individual holds the football and has pushed a long spear of sorts into it, kind of like the foil. It like just pushed it into like the nose of the ball. Mm-hmm. And so they stay like standing there in the woods until Ralph comes upon them and is like, hey, give me my ball. Mm-hmm. He has to demand a few times before the individual silently tosses the ball over to Ralph, spear first. Oh. Ralph catches the ball with his stomach. The spear has gone straight through and he falls to the ground. The glove person clicks the stopwatch as it lands at 30 seconds, and then we see them cross Ralph's face off in the track photo.
The 30-second thing is so weird. Like, is the killer, like, timing themselves, like, I have to kill them within 30 seconds? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, what are they doing? Right. What is that doing for them? I mean, I obviously know the connection back to the opening scene, but, like, literally, what is this doing for you now?
Right.
But, okay, a man is dead.
Yeah, he was just there, and then he was not there anymore. It was very quick for him.
So. Yep.
R.I.P. Ralph. This next sequence, oh, boy. Okay. So, we are at a roller skating rink.
Love.
And there is a band playing music. There's colorful lights. Like, the vibes are very fun. But let me tell you, I thought this scene would never end. Mm. It felt like a music video. Like the band is just playing and playing and playing. And then come to find out, this was a real band. And it was like kind of a big deal for them to be in the movie. So it feels very weirdly out of place.
Yeah, I don't like stuff like that.
Yeah. I forget what the band was called, but it's like all their music throughout. Mm. So this was like supposed to be like this big shining moment on the band. But it's like, it feels like a music video. And you're just like, can we get this?
This is just not the kind of movie to stop for a music video for.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be cool. It's cool to like incorporate them, but do it more subtly.
Yeah, exactly. No, and like there is something happening on the side, which I'm going to ignore the entire band part and just talk about the side thing. Okay. But the side thing is like very quick and just like, it's just weird. But a couple is going to sneak off into the woods.
Of course.
Because, you know, why wouldn't they? And the girl is like, I'm going to nail your ass tonight. And I'm like, wait, what? What are you going to do?
Does she mean?
like
very forward thinking, like very ahead of its time.
The funny thing is, I don't think she means that.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I'm going to choose to believe she does mean that.
She does mean that.
Yeah.
So they find themselves a nice patch of leaves and they start making out. Mm-hmm. And the creepy POV, of course, returns and is watching them. They're getting into it, and the guy, Tony, pulls away, and the girl's like, what is it? Did I do something? No, I gotta do something, he says, before getting up and going to piss in the trees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She makes a comment how it must be nice to be a boy and be able to piss anywhere you want, and like, facts.
I know.
It is kind of nice. Yeah, and then he goes, he's like, the world is my toilet, and I was like, you could have not said
that. Okay, well. But this is why I wish you couldn't do that.
Exactly. The guy he's pissing in the trees, and the creepy POV is sneaking up behind him with a sword or a foil. No, it's got to be a sword. I think it has to be a sword.
Okay.
And girly can't see like any of this going on. The POV gets right up behind him and just slices his head clean off.
Wow.
Just a nice whoop and clean off it goes.
Fun.
It's very fun. So Girly Pop, whose name I never learned, calls for Tony. And when she gets no response, she heads off to find him, but instead just finds his head hanging all pretty in a tree. Mm-hmm. She gasps and then sees someone in a fencing outfit come running out of the trees nearby.
Oh.
She jumps back frightened. The masked person runs after her. She pulls ahead and hides under a tree where she gets jump scared by a dog that passes by.
And the dog is going to be fine.
Yeah, the dog literally – no, it's the funniest jump scare of all time because the dog just walks by and, like, she's like, ah! It's just like a dog. And it's like, yeah. Not whatever. But her scream then alerts the killer to her location. So off they go running again. And she tries to run back to the rink, but gets cut off by the killer. The killer mm-hmm. takes a swing at her, and they click their stopwatch. And that's the last we see of her.
Okay.
Sorry I never figured out your name, girly, but R.I.P.
I put her down as Woods Girl.
Yes, that's fair. And this is our second act check-in.
Whoa, fast yes. second act.
Yes. And I once again have three questions for you, and they all kind of come right off at the end. So 2A, your ball goes into the brush. Do you just leave it and get a new one?
I have a weird fear of poison ivy.
Okay.
So yeah, if I didn't have anyone to send in for me, I might leave it. I would say, okay, wait, how is it phrased?
Your ball goes into the brush. Do you just leave it and get a new one?
Yeah, I'm going to go into 55 territory. It's very okay. likely that I'll just deal with it and grab it, but it's possible as well that I'm just like, I don't want to deal with that today.
Not in the mood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave myself a 15 just based off of memories of playing basketball at this place. We would always go in New Hampshire, and the basketball would always go in the woods, and you okay. always had to go and find it. And it was just, we were always yeah. doing that. So that's yeah. where my 15 comes from.
Okay.
2B, do you stay at Rollerblade Rockout as opposed to sneaking off with your boo?
Yeah, I don't really have any want for sex in the woods. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd rather be on a bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with a good 92 there.
Okay. I did 95.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would go higher, but I also could see myself being please get me out of this music video right now. I'm just upset about the music video. Right. Get me out of here. But yeah, okay, we're in the same boat there. And then 2C, can you successfully run or hide from the killer in the woods? I'm always cocky in these situations.
This is hard because in his situation, I don't think there's much chance.
I didn't even calculate okay. his.
So for the girl,
I feel like him was more B and then yeah. she's yeah. more C.
Okay, yeah. I would be pretty quickly spooked if my person wasn't coming back. Mm-hmm. I'd be pretty on edge.
For sure, yeah.
And my head would be on a swivel and
not hanging in a tree.
Nope. I don't think I would hide either. I think I would just run.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I almost put a question in here, do you get jump scared by a dog? But then I was like, that's a stupid question, but also it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm going to go a solid 62. I think I would just as soon as something was wrong, I felt something was off and they weren't coming back, I call out for them. They're not responding.
Yep.
I'm running. Yeah. I don't even need to see a person. I don't need to see nothing. Yeah, that stuff. I'm scared of the woods and being alone and people. No, that whole situation, I'd be freaked out.
Mm-hmm. I was far too cocky in this, and I gave myself an 82 just because, every time this happens in a movie, and everyone always yells at me for it, but I'm if there are woods, I feel confident that I would be able to get away.
You would do because of the so much hiding space, or
yeah,
yeah. So you would hide.
I probably would hide, and then I would if a dog ran by, I don't think I would scream. I think ask it to come and sit with me, but yeah. that's about it. So I did go 82.
Okay.
And those are your three questions that you can average for act two.
Wait, we don't weight these.
No, these are all just.
Oh my gosh, my last one I weighed.
Oh no.
For some reason. I think it was because it was three numbers. So my brain went to one, two, three. So I have to redo my last one. But this one is 70%.
Okay. I got a 64. On this
okay, one. Just to fix my last one.
I was wondering why you were so high in the last one.
I was very high. I thought I was,
Wait, what is it?
It's not that different. It's not that different.
I guess that makes enough sense.
It's literally 1% lower.
Oh.
66% instead of 67, so.
Wow,
Yeah, I guess it's because my high numbers are 1 and 3. So,
it's not 2,
but whatever, just to be accurate. Gotcha. We are all about accuracy here.
Yeah, I didn't mess up my math on 2 straight episodes. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I got a little better in this one. We both did, right?
Yes, we both did for sure. So we're heading into the final act.
Okay.
What could happen?
Anything.
So graduation day is finally here. the principal is receiving some calls from parents because a whole handful of students never returned home from school yesterday.
Crazy.
And interestingly enough, they were all on the track team? Huh? Weird.
Weird.
But he doesn't know anything, nor does he seem too worried. It's the day before graduation. They probably went out. They probably had a fun night.
Sure.
But then the police show up. Inspector Halliday, specifically, and he has also received calls from concerned parents and wanted to see what the principal could maybe tell him about it. He again expresses that he's not concerned. They're high school seniors. They're fine. And Halliday ultimately agrees with him. Like, they're probably just out.
High school seniors are always just fine.
They're just doing whatever, man. So even though today is graduation day, that doesn't mean we can't get a little more pole vaulting practice in, right?
Right.
Right.
That's what I want to do on graduation day.
Me too. So yeah. There's this one guy, and he's standing out behind the school by his lonesome, and he does a pole vault. Problem is, the pit where they land has been filled with, like, broken poles. So they're spiky, and he just lands in it. And, like,
what, did they not look first?
They did not.
Okay.
So he is pierced by spikes and dies.
Okay.
Spiky
boy.
Spiky boy.
Dead.
Dead by pole vault situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really is just, that's just a creative death that they came up with, and they had to build something around it to make it work.
They really just threw it in there.
Like, let's just kill this boy.
Yeah, let's do it. It was so random. So Inspector Halliday now, he's going to head into coach's office to have a chat with him. Six seniors didn't make it home last night. Would you know anything about them? No. Coach says, sitting like pretty solemnly at his desk, and he has no information. Mm-hmm. They were all on your track team, the inspector says. I don't have a track team, he says.
Oh.
The inspector asks him what he means by that. Apparently he just got canned.
What does that mean?
Fired.
Oh.
Wait, have you never heard canned as like a term for fire?
I think now that you say it, it rings a bell.
Okay.
But not very often.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what came to mind when you said that because you can just imagine.
Okay. Yeah.
But okay, that makes sense given his behavior toward these girls, and I'm not that sad.
No, I don't think we are sad at all.
Yeah.
He asked the inspector to please leave him be because he's got to finish up packing his stuff. So he pulls out his bag, and in it he puts a photo of the track team. And it is the same photo that we've been seeing, but it doesn't have the X's on it.
Okay, sure.
He then opens his drawer where he has a pair of black gloves and a stopwatch. Dun, dun, dun. Spooky music.
Okay. I really don't know where we're going to go here.
Remember those girls from earlier? The silly, giggly girls? Yeah. So they're here again. They're here again.
Okay. And
they walk into the locker room, just chatting away, when they notice some blood on Sally's locker. And of course, it spooks them, but they are like, all right, let's open it up and see what's in here.
They think they saw blood on Sally's locker. Wackos. Oh, weirdos. Crazy.
Let's all point and laugh. So Sally's dead body falls out onto the floor in a heap, and the two girls scream and just back into the corner screaming.
Because
that's what happens in 80s movies.
So yes.
Coach Michaels comes in, having heard all the screaming, and he checks on Sally's body and then removes the fencing foil from the locker because the weapon is also in there.
Okay.
Now, these two girls are acting absolutely terrified of him. And I want to make it clear that they have exactly zero reason to feel that way right now. Like, they don't have any of that information. So they're screaming, like, because he's holding the foil and he's not, like, trying to attack. Like, he's just standing there. And I mean, like, he doesn't say anything either. He just is standing there. So, like, it's like, what is everyone doing in this moment?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird.
But then Kevin comes running in, you know, Laura's boyfriend, and he tells the girls, get out of here. So they finally do. Thank God, because they were just screeching. And they run out of the school and across the busy front lawn, still screaming, help! Get the police! Coach Michaels killed Sally! Help! Like, and I'm like, where?
What? Like, we are not that brainless as a gender.
No.
My note to the 80s, like, please let it end.
So back in the locker room, Kevin attacks the coach, telling him he won't let him get away with it this time. They go back and forth, throwing each other into lockers, punching each other, until the coach finally knocks Kevin to the ground.
I think it's Kevin.
And makes a run for it. Kevin. You're going Kevin?
I'm going, final answer. I'm not allowed to change anymore because we're already in Act 3.
I appreciate it. So he knocks Kevin to the ground and Coach makes a run for it. And just after he does, Anne and the police make their way into the locker room. Kevin immediately tells them that it was Coach Michaels. He did it. The inspector finds the photograph with the X's on it and asks Anne if she knows who these people are. She tells him that it's the track team. And the only two people not crossed off are Kevin and Coach Michaels. Kevin runs out now to try and track down Coach Michaels. They both somehow end up following the exact same path into the woods. And Kevin catches up with Michaels. And they just go back to fighting. I'm going to make you pay, Kevin yells at Michaels. I've never killed anybody in my life, the coach yells. This is all a big misunderstanding. Don't play innocent with me, Kevin says. I was there. I saw you kill her.
Oh.
Michaels looks puzzled.
Yeah. Hello?
He's like, "Huh? You killed Laura," he says. "You all killed her. And now you've all got to be punished."
Yeah.
Coach asks him if he killed Sally. Sally, Ralph, Diane, Paula, Tony, Pete. He's like screaming all the names of the people he's killed. And some of these people, I'm like, I don't know who that is, but okay. Yeah,
maybe Diane is Woods' girl.
Oh, I bet you're right. I don't know who Pete is, though.
No, I don't recall a Pete.
I don't remember Pete. And I saved the best for last, he says, pulling out his stopwatch and clicking start. 30 seconds. That's all it took. Took from the time you first pushed Laura in the race until you and the others killed her. He starts mimicking the things that Coach had screamed that day. Come on, Laura. You can do it. Just a little bit more. Move your ass, Laura. The clock hits 30 seconds. You know, my whole life was changed in just 30 seconds, he says. He tells us that they were supposed to get married today. He and Laura were planning on doing it just after graduation. He starts getting very intensely emotional, and then he just attacks Michaels. Michaels flips him over his back and takes away the fencing foil. Just as he does, the inspector comes running up, seeing Michaels with the weapon. He shoots him in the chest twice and down he goes. Anne and the inspector run up to Kevin, asking him if he's all right. He starts babbling about how Michaels did it. He killed them all. The inspector has Kevin come to the station to give a statement. Anne goes back to the school to pick up Laura's trophy, but Blondie tells her it's not here. Kevin already came and got it. He told her Anne said it was what she wanted. But Anne never said that. So she's immediately suspicious. It's very weirded out. So guess what? Anne goes to Kevin's and once again just lets herself into the house.
Of course.
Yay. Kevin doesn't appear to be home. So Anne just slowly wanders around the house, eventually making her way into an upstairs bedroom. Inside the room, a girl sits in her graduation cap and gown looking out the window. Anne approaches her. Excuse me, I didn't know anyone was here. Coming around to the front of the girl, Anne screams. It's the corpse of her sister, Laura.
Oh my God. I thought that's where it was going, yeah. But I was like, no way. That's so crazy.
No, I did not think this movie was about a polis, but they did. And I was like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's very fun. Kevin appears suddenly and covers Anne's mouth, telling her to stay quiet. Anne stands in shock. You wouldn't believe how awful they were to her, Kevin starts. They just stuck her in the ground and pretend like she never existed. I think he might have lost it a little bit. This is very
Norman Bates of him.
Yes. Oh my God, it is. I was thinking about Norman Bates. Believe me.
Yeah.
Now they're all dead and gone, and Laura's here with me forever, he says, smiling down at Laura. He turns back to Anne. I'm glad you're here. I want you to be the first one to kiss the bride. And Anne is like, what?
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh my God, I forgot to get you a wedding gift. I'll be right back.
Dang it. Just BRB. Well, of course, Kevin and Laura they're getting married just after graduation like they planned. And Anne like looks very disgusted and Kevin notices. You're just as bad as the others, he says. He picks up a knife. You don't deserve to live either. Kevin takes a swipe at Anne, and Anne falls to the floor, pushing over the chair that Laura sits in. Laura's corpse then falls into Kevin, and the two of them go crashing through the second story window and onto the pavement below. Anne glances out the window and sees the two bodies laying motionless on the ground, But when she comes downstairs, Kevin is then coming back in the house, like carrying Laura through the front door.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Anne takes off running towards home. Good. No. Oh, yeah. She runs to the track / bleachers behind the school and just takes a seat on the steps and cries. I'm like, okay. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
So while her head is down, Kevin sneaks up with his knife.
Of course.
Yes, this is an Anne Then movie. So he lunges at Anne, but she's quick with it. She does a couple like karate moves and like sends Kevin to the ground and then runs beneath the bleachers. And Kevin follows after her. It's cat and mouse. It's back and forth. It's catch and release. And while we're under here, we see multiple dead bodies, by the way. He seems to have been like storing the dead bodies under the bleachers. So they're all kind of popping up. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the bodies that we come across is the pole vaulter's body.
Yep.
He's like hanging on the door inside of the locker. Oh, that's gotta be Pete. Oh my God. So true. Yes. We Pete. Found Pete. Oh my God. Aww. Pete died in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So his body is like hanging on the back of a door of like a cubby that's under there. Oof. He's still got all of like the poles sticking out of him.
Yeah.
So Anne somehow manages to throw Kevin into this boy, into Pete, sending the spikes through Kevin's back as well.
Ooh.
Kevin then falls forward, blood pouring from his mouth. Uh-huh. He writhes on the floor a bit, but then goes still. Okay. Fading to black, we then reopen on Anne back at her mother's house. Mm-hmm. Her mother wants her to stay longer, given all she's been through the past few days, but Anne insists that she needs to catch her flight in the morning. Anne sets the alarm and goes to sleep. In the middle of the night, her bedroom door violently swings open and in walks Kevin with his knife.
No.
Anne screams. And
it's
her
a dream.
And her mother comes running in, flipping on the light. Kevin and his knife become...
Kevin's still there?
Kevin and his knife become her stepdad and a bottle of vodka.
Oh. So she was also scary.
Also like, scary. Yeah. Her mother scolds Ronald for waking her up. I think Ronald was just super drunk.
Didn't know where he was.
Yeah. I don't know what he was doing. I think he was like trying to insult Anne. He just wanted to like yell at her because that's what he does.
Yeah.
He then walks out of the room and Anne's mother says you got to forgive Ronald. He's been through a lot. Like, no.
Shut up.
Ma'am. I will not forgive Ronald. The next morning, Anne packs up her bags and leaves town. The end.
Oh, okay. I'm actually really happy he didn't come back. I didn't need that.
That. I was like, there's no – because, like, they're setting it up, and you're like, why are we watching her go to sleep? What is this? And
when you kept going, like, I was like, oh, no. Are they really going to bring him back? Like, they could do it, but
But no.
No, yeah. I'm happy. And I'm happy how he died, like, by his own making.
Yes. Yes.
That's nice.
Right, being pierced nice through that. That is true. I didn't even think about that.
What a time.
What a time to be alive or dead.
And I can't really take credit for calling it because I only called it like 2 seconds before the reveal. So it doesn't hit the same.
I don't think I picked up on it being Kevin at all. At least not until like right before like you did too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know who it was gonna be. And it's so weird. There's so many scenes in this that like feel like they were supposed to point to like more suspects, but like ones that never caught, like for example the music teacher and then also the principal, like when they were like looking at his knives in the drawer, I was like,
oh right, but that's all they did, so that's just not enough. You know?
Exactly. So sure. There wasn't like enough suspicion.
And Anne kind of disappeared from the movie a little bit, like she started as like our main girl that I thought we were gonna follow all the way to the end, and we did in a way, but like we lost her along the way for a long time, and I was like,
where'd
she go? So then I was like, I don't think it's her because I feel like she'd be more involved.
Right.
And then it was too pointed at the coach.
Right. And it also doesn't make sense.
Motive wouldn't make sense. Right. So that leaves Kevin.
Kevin's motive actually does kind of make sense.
Yeah. Him blaming like the whole team and like the culture of the sport and whatever.
Yeah. And it's funny. We were just talking about how like there's no sports horror films. And then I found this one. And I was like,
This
is a sports horror.
Oh my gosh.
I like it better than him. I'm going to be so honest with you right now.
Yeah. The only thing, like you said, that like stands out to me, because like you said, this wasn't well received.
Yeah.
But like this is a pretty classic 80s movie.
Yeah.
So I'm confused as to why it wasn't. The only thing that stands out to me was that random scene with the teacher and that situation. That I don't like, but everything, it's not enough to cause like a negative review either.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, especially because the scene with the teacher didn't lead to anything. It was just there. So exactly. It was like that didn't need to be there.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very weird. But I do have 5 questions for you to calculate your survivability in this third act. So 3A. Do you refrain from doing a little pole vaulting on graduation day?
100%.
You know me. I put 99 just because I have to. But like also,
Caitlin, I could see you doing a pole vault on graduation day.
You're like, whoa. 99.
I'm like sitting in the bleachers waiting and I just look in the distance and you're flying through the sky. Like I would not question that one bit. Like,
yep, there she goes. Look at her. That's so funny. Yeah, I gave myself a 99. And also, it's funny because there really wasn't anything else I could do for his death other than, did you look? But, like,
I don't know.
It's, whatever. This movie's silly. No, that's goofy. Good. This one I had to do the most annoying wording, but you'll get it. 3B, how likely are you to not coach a high school track and field team?
Oh, I would say 99.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I've even like considered, I would love to maybe one day get into, I was a big tennis girly, MVP junior year, second at sectionals senior year, whatever.
Let's go.
And so, yeah, I would love to like get into like coaching one day if I could. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, would I have the time if that spot opened up to like coach at my school again for that? And even just making time for that is like a lot. Why would I ever do it for track and field? Yeah. Like I wasn't in track and field. So no. I would never.
I put a 72.
Because you were in track and field, so this makes sense.
I wasn't even in track and field. I was in cross country. So it's like
running.
It's the same thing. Oh my gosh.
Is it the same thing or is that like a thing that track and field and cross country people get annoyed about getting grouped into one?
They're two different things, but like I would never be annoyed by it. It's like it's just shorter distance versus longer distance. Very different training styles, but like you're running.
Yeah.
And then like the track part, field is very different, obviously. That's, you know, shot put, all of that.
Yeah.
Which I've never touched. But I used to love coaching my brother's soccer teams with my dad when I was younger. And like I've also thought about like I would love to get back into doing that.
Yeah.
Because coaching is so fun. Like it's such a fun experience and I would love to do it again. Mm-hmm. So that's why I gave myself a 72, just because like I would like to coach again someday. Probably not track and field, but if that was all that I could, like I'd be like, sure, why not?
Yeah, sure.
So 3C, do you escape Kevin's house alive?
I think I have the time. I think, first of all, I think he is one of those people that you can psychologically mess with.
Absolutely.
So I would attempt to do that as well. Mm-hmm. And when he falls, I'm running out the back door. I don't want to even cross paths with his possibly dead body. I'm not taking a chance. I'm running. Right. For that back door. So I'm going to give myself like a solid, I do try to avoid this number, but it feels right, 69.
All right.
Yeah.
I went a little lower, 43, just because I was calculating the luck of the body falling into him in the window. Because like we didn't really do that. Well, didn't really do that. Like it just kind of happened. And also I agree with you on the psychological thing for sure.
Yes.
Because he only flips on Anne when like Anne acts disgusted by the fact that he's doing this at all. So that's fair. 3D, do you survive the deadly showdown with Kevin under the bleachers?
I can't even remember. We knocked him into that.
Yes.
We pushed him.
Yes. That was a deliberate action.
Okay. So I do have to do something.
Yes.
I'm going to give myself a 54 here. I want to stay in the top half, but I don't know. I'm panicking at that point.
These kind of situations are hard to judge.
Yes.
Because it's just like this whole big fight sequence that's like, I mean, it's
this has to work and this has to work.
Exactly. Yeah. So I went 37.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anne doesn't have a weapon, I think, at this point. And Kevin does, so sure. I don't know. And also the panic, you're right with that.
Yeah.
And then 3E is our only deadly question in the episode, and it is, how likely are you to refrain from joining track and field?
Oh, okay. So obviously, I kind of have to put myself in high school me for this.
Yes, exactly.
I'm pretty sure it ran at the same time as tennis. So I wouldn't have, but I wouldn't have. No, no, actually it didn't. Cross country. No, yes, it did. Because girls and boys. Okay, it did. But anyway, I'm taking this too literally. I would give myself a solid 88.
An 88. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking back on it. They were talking about track and field, but they also referred to Paula as the best cross country runner.
So they grouped them together too.
They also grouped them together, which is funny. I gave myself a 25 because I ran 3 years of cross country. So that's three fourths. And I just, because I quit after my junior year because I said, I fucking hate running. What am I doing?
And that's so funny.
Then I left. So that's why I went 25% because I probably would.
Yeah.
Since I did cross country in high school.
Yeah.
And yes, that is your deadly question because at the end of the day, everyone on track and field is the one
that's
being
it.
Targeted.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes my third act an 84.
What?
Yes.
That's so crazy. I know. Damn. Mine is a 47.
Whoa. We haven't had a moment like that in a while.
I know. I figured you'd be more likely to survive this episode, but that was when I thought you didn't like running
at all.
Or ever liked running. Yeah. I didn't know that you had enjoyed running.
And I'm still very, very high, even with my past running experience.
Yeah.
Whoa. So then that brings my overall score to an 84%.
What? That's crazy. 84. Mine was 54.
Wow.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Oh my really gosh. Different.
Yeah. 84 act three and 84 overall. Wow. What? It's 69.
It's 69. Oh my God. I love that you literally made a comment too about, I don't want to use this number.
That's why I knew.
That is so funny. Why is it the 80s movies that give us the 69%? They're like, oh, we know where we are.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay.
That's so funny.
And I love just that we met in the middle with that specific number. It just feels right.
Wait. Please help. Send help. Wow. So that's graduation day. I hope you had a good time with this one. It's just
absolutely
one of those. And thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. You can also find us on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast, where you can find a link to our Discord, where you too can fill out the worksheet and submit your own score. So let us know. Would you survive?